Revelation chapter 6. We're going to continue our study. Revelation chapter 6 and verse 9 is where we will begin through the end of the chapter tonight. You know, as we preach from this book of Revelation, there are some things that, you know, would make and should make people shudder, you know, and even tremble. But you do know, as a child of God, it's going to be okay, don't you? It's going to be all right. Jesus has His children, and we're going to be all right. Better yet, we're going to win. And we're going to know the true joy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Would you stand with me in Revelation chapter 6 and verse 9, where we find these words. When He had opened the fifth seal, and you do know this is Jesus, right? Opening the seals. When He had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for their testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, until You judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? Then a white robe was given to each of them. And it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer, until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who would be killed as they were was completed. I looked when He had opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood. And the stars of heaven fell to the earth as a fig tree drops its late figs when it is shaken by a mighty wind. Then the sky receded as a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. The kings of the earth and the great men and the rich, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, Fall on us and hide us from the face of Him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of His wrath has come, and who is able to stand? Let us once again look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we do praise You. Thank You for Jesus. Thank You for Your word that You've given us. Now, Lord, we pray that You will open our minds and our hearts to Your word. Lord, just take it, apply it to us. May it sink deep within us. And may we live with the knowledge of Your imminent return. And may we be faithful, numbering our days, making them count for Your honor and for Your glory. I pray that Your will be done in this service. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. All right, what a wonderful chapter. The first part of this chapter, as Jesus begins to open the seals of the book that He has taken out of the right hand of the Father, we saw the white horseman, what we could say is the peaceful conquest of the world through an ideology or philosophy, okay? How that it swept the world, and as I mentioned this morning, I believe it to be a false religion, and I think there's a very good possibility that it may be the Muslim religion, okay? Then in the second, we saw the second horse, the red horse, the violent conquest of the earth. And we talked about the terrorist cells this morning that could just bring havoc throughout the world. Then the black horse, where we'll see economic collapse due to the war. Prices will be expensive and will skyrocket, so much so that a man has to work just to feed himself. And then the last one, the pale horse, the pestilence of war, the disease. And I didn't mention this morning, but you know, this pale horse, it's everything that goes along with war. You know, one of the great fears of war is chemical and biological warfare. Did you know there are enough biological weapons to destroy the entire population of the earth in stockpile right now. And it's a great, you know, it's a great fear that terrorists get their hands on that. It can be introduced in the water supply, in our food supply. It can be ground into powder and sprayed into the wind and become airborne. And it can be introduced even by rats, by dropping infected rats in an area. Even lice. And it will be such a devastating time that 1/4 of all mankind will be killed, either by war or by the disease or by the hunger. And now we close on that scene of these four horsemen, and the scene shifts, and we look back into heaven, and Jesus opens the fifth seal. And we see in the altar, the throne room of heaven, and we see under the altar it says the souls of those who have been sacrificed for the cause of Christ. You know, in the Old Testament, sacrifices were animal sacrifices, and they were picturesque of the New Testament sacrifice of Jesus. But here, there are no animals. These are people who have literally given their lives for the cause of Christ. Paul put it like this, 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6. Paul said, "I'm ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. As these horsemen are going, it's going to be open season on Christians." You realize that? I mean, we live in a wonderful day today. A day where we can gather like this and enjoy worship. And I'll be honest with you, I have not been afraid since I've been here. Afraid that someone will come in and arrest me or attack us for our worship. But do you realize there's coming a day where your faith will be put on trial, or where the faith of saints will be put on trial? As I said, at this point, I believe the church has been raptured, and these are believers that have been converted during the tribulation period. But there's coming in this day a condition so that men will have to make a choice. If their choice is God, it will cost them their life. And I want you to notice something. It talks about those that were slain for the testimony. They're in verse 9. "For the testimony which they held." That word "held" is a pretty interesting word in that it means to possess. It means to bear. It means, it carries with the idea a repeated action. Okay? And when the earth is consumed by the evil of the Antichrist, of what we have discussed this morning, it will be open season on Christians. There will be people who continually stand for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they will be given an ultimatum, you know, but they won't give in. They will be faithful. They will be bold in their testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you ever think about, I don't think people quite understand sacrifice today. I'm not sure I understand sacrifice today. You know why? Do you know why the church is not filled every time the doors are open? Because we don't understand sacrifice. Do you know what would be the greatest thing for church attendance? It's a surefire thing to fill Victory Missionary Baptist Church. You let them outlaw people going to church. And I grant you, the next Sunday it'll be full. Why? Because when you tell us we can't, that's when we kick in. But listen, do you not think that every day that we live, we have the opportunity to hold to our testimony of who we are, you know? And I think that's where the problem is today. When it comes decision time, people are just, we're just not willing to take a stand. And I give you this. Why would we attend church on Sunday? Say we believe in Christ. Why would we do that and then talk like the heathen talk on Monday? Because we're not willing to take a stand, to hold to our testimony. Why would we say that we should be honest? Do you believe we should be honest? Amen. Well, why would we say we should be honest and we go through a checkout line somewhere and the clerk makes a $5 mistake and gives us an extra $5 when she gives us our change back? Why would we stick that in our pocket? Is that not an opportunity for a testimony? You know, there are people who would say, well, that's their loss. That's their mistake. Why would we say, set an example? Yet on any given Sunday, you'll find good Bible-believing Baptist in Tunica. Why would we say, why would we support such organizations like Mothers Against Drunk Driving, yet we're okay with social drinking? I say we're okay. We're not okay with social drinking, amen? But there are a lot of people who are, okay? But you see my point. We have all these concepts, but when it comes down to taking a stand, when it comes down to holding to our testimony, we give it up. You know, when it comes down to decision time, when it's either decide I'm going to hold to, I'm not going to give up my testimony, I'm not going to let Satan smear my testimony, when it comes down to that, we give up too easily. You know, Paul said, present your bodies a living sacrifice. If we can't be a living sacrifice, how in the world do we think that we could possibly die as a sacrifice for Jesus Christ? No, we can't. What we have, the point is this, what we have in Jesus is so precious. Amen? It was bought with the blood of the Son of God. Every day that we live, we should hold it as something precious. And when the opportunity comes to take the stand for Christ, there should never be a question. We should stand and let the world know how awesome our God is. Don't let it go. Just because your life's not being threatened, you know, don't think that you can't hold to your testimony of Jesus Christ. Every day that you live, you have an opportunity to hold that testimony and display who Jesus is before the world. These that we read about in Revelation chapter 6, there's no question. And the way it's constructed, I love the way it's constructed there in the Greek. It's they continually held. It didn't matter what happened. If today, you know, if they were threatened today, they still held to their testimony of Jesus Christ. If they were threatened tomorrow, next week, next year, they still held to that. They would not give it up. One of them bulldog stubbornness kind of mentalities. Then let's look at their cry. Their cry under the altar. Verse 10, and they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? How long? Until when, Lord, will you let these things go on? Understand that the question is not just that an evil, they want a self-centered revenge, okay? A selfish revenge. But they want justice. The cry is for justice. And the idea is not just for them, but do you understand? Jesus, God the Father, has withheld his wrath for a very long time. Man has shook his finger in his face. Man has said, we don't want you in our public schools. We don't want you in our public venues. We don't want you to pray in Jesus' name. Listen, when you pray, if I hadn't told you this, you be sure you pray in the name of Jesus, okay? Not in your name we pray, in His name we pray. You name Jesus, the Son of God, because that's who our prayers are aimed toward. And I want everybody to know that it is Jesus that I've placed my faith and trust in, okay? And I know in schools they'll tell you don't, you know, you can pray, but just don't say Jesus. Say Jesus, okay? They can't stop you from using the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Anyway, what I just wanted to say, it's not just them that were being persecuted. In Matthew chapter 25, verse 40, it says, "And the king shall answer and say to them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of my brethren, you have done it to me." Do you realize that if you are persecuted for the cause of Christ, do you realize it's not about you? It's not. It's not about them rejecting you. It's about them rejecting Jesus Christ. And when a child of God is persecuted, it is just as though they had done it to Jesus Christ. So the cry going up is not just a selfish cry of revenge. It is a cry for justice. Lord, when are you going to show this evil world the God that you are? And Jesus responded. He gave them white robes, reward of the saints, the righteousness of the saints. And they're told to rest. I love the way this is presented. They're told to rest. Verse 11, "Then a white robe was given to each of them, and it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer." You know, it's presented like Jesus says, "Listen, I've got it. It's going to be okay. I've got it all. I have a plan. I've got it all under control. I know what's going on. And when the time is just right, when the time's just right, I'm going to take care of it all. You saints, you have been faithful. You have held your testimony. You wouldn't give it up even to the point of death. Y'all, here's your robes. Now you take your rest. And let me handle it from here." I love the way that's presented. Jesus says, "Until the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who would be killed as they were was completed." Literally, that reads to be filled up. When it's all filled up, listen, you had your opportunity to be faithful and to hold to your testimony. Now, there are brethren that you have on this earth that are going to have the same opportunity that you had to be faithful. But when the last one dies, when the last one gives his life, when that last drop of blood, according to the plan of God, is shed, you know what? Jesus is going to say, "That's it. That's it." And you know, as I look and I thought, you know, these in the tribulation period, they're sacrificing their life. But you know, I mean, this goes all the way back to the book of Genesis. God's people have always sacrificed for His honor and for His glory. And you know, sometimes I have missed the boat in understanding what a sacrifice is. You know what that is? It's an offering. It's something that you have that you give up to give to God. Now, my question, Paul, and I know I mentioned this a while ago, and not to repeat myself, but Paul talked about being a living sacrifice. Do you ever think about giving to God? Do you ever think about giving up for the honor and the glory of God? What can you give to God? To sacrifice for His honor and for His glory. You want to know why we don't take the stands? It's because we're not willing to sacrifice. You want to know why Sunday night's not as well attended as Sunday morning. I'm preaching to the choir tonight, I know. And do you know why? People aren't willing to sacrifice time. Wednesday night, same way. People aren't willing to sacrifice. You know, and it goes back to the realization. You know, it's not about me. Not about you, is it? It's about Jesus. And it's about what can I do for His honor and for His glory. Then the sixth seal. And we're going to, and this is a sight. And I looked, and when he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake. And the sun and became black as sackcloth and of hair, and the moon became like blood, and the stars of heaven fell to the earth, as a fig tree drops its late figs when it is shaken with a mighty wind. Then the sky receded as a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place, and the kings of the earth, and the great men, the rich men, the commanders, and the mighty men, every slave, every free man, hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks, and said to the mountains and rocks, "Fall on us, and hide us from the face of Him who sits on the throne." Now, in this translation, I'll just be honest with you. I do not know what's going to happen here. The reason I do not, as I'll show you, when he opens this seal, it says, "Behold, there was a great earthquake." That word earthquake is translated earthquake because I think that's the best the translators could do. Okay? But, literally, it says there was a great shaking. And if I were to call it anything, I wouldn't call it an earthquake. I'd call it a universe quake. Because everything from the stars into heaven to this earth are going to be shaken and tremble. And the sun's going to become dark. I have, you know, and the moon like blood. Have you ever watched on TV when there's an earthquake and the ash and the things are spewed up into the air? What happens to the sun? Well, the sun's darkened. And the moon is darkened. And it even, some have even said it looks like blood. I think that's probably a volcanic ash. But I don't think, like I said, I don't think it's just the earth that's affected. It's the heavens that are affected also, because it talks about the stars fall to the earth. You know how you're getting old, how you know when you're getting old? You start watching them education channels. My dad, he used to watch those, and I'd think, "Oh man, not these dumb shows." I want to tell you, I've seen some stuff on the education channels that are just pretty good, you know, now. But I've watched specials that they've had about possible stars that could strike the earth and the amount of destruction that it could cause and the debris that could be thrust into the air. And it could be like hundreds of times greater than a nuclear explosion. Well, that's what's happening here. Stars are falling to the earth. Great explosions and debris into the air. The sun's darkened. The moon's like blood. It's under such an attack that and shaking that the continents and the islands literally are moved out of their place. Now, like I said in the beginning, I'm doing the best I can do here, but my mind can't wrap around such an event as this. I'll tell you the truth, though. I'm glad that I'm going to be in heaven watching from there. Will you? Because look what happens. It has to be terrifying. Men cry out. They hide themselves in the caves and the rocks and the mountains and say to the mountains and the rocks, "Fall on us, hide us. Hide us from the face of Him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb." You know what? The thing I find really amazing is they know who it's coming from. They know who's doing it. And what's really amazing to me is that the cry is not, "Oh Lord, forgive me, for I have sinned." But hearts have grown so hard at this point that there is no repentance. The cry is just, "Cover us up and hide us from Almighty God." How sad. How sad. As a child of God, like I said in the beginning, it's going to be all right for us. You know that? We're going to win. We're in the family of God. But there are some who are not going to win. There are some who are going to suffer the wrath of Almighty God. Oh, listen, beloved, if you're not ready to go, if you're not, you know, if you don't have the assurance of heaven, why are you living this way? I mean, just on a normal scale, this life is uncertain. Amen. I mean, you know, none of us have the guarantee of tomorrow. And then you add to that, at any given point, we could be thrust into this tribulation period where God's wrath is poured out upon the earth, where the rapture occurs of the saints of God. We all leave here. And then you could be here to face God's wrath. Listen, why live with that fear when Jesus loves you? That's the good news, you know it? That's the gospel, is that Jesus loves you and that he gave his life for you so that you could be saved and so that you could experience victory with him. Are you a child of God? If not, you're a prayer away from salvation. You say, "Brother Doug, I don't know what to say." Here, try this one. "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner." Okay? Or try this one. "Jesus, save me. I know you're the Son of God. I know you died for me and rose from the grave. I know that you're alive today. Jesus, save me." That one works. You see, it's not so much in the words that you say, it's the commitment that you make. It's committing, making a conscious decision to commit your life to Christ. That's why the Bible says, "Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." If you don't have the assurance of heaven tonight, I beg you. I ask you, come forward in this invitation. Let me show you in God's holy word how to be saved. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that when you return to this earth, that you're coming to get us. And we just, Lord, we rejoice in that knowledge. Lord, we also know there are many people in our community, in our state, in our country who are not saved and throughout the world. So, Lord, keep us mindful that we're here to be about your business. Open doors of opportunity and give us the courage to step through those doors and be a witness to you, or a witness for you. And may we all hold to our testimony that we have in you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray.